Okay, so we're going to actually get into that now. So let's talk a little bit about the other agent that we're hearing a lot about, the AZD9291, and maybe we can start out, Jeff, with your 62-year-old patient as a way to get into this.
Sure. This was a 62-year-old never smoker. He's a retired firefighter. He presented initially with pleural metastasis, X19 deletion, and EGFR, and he started erlotinib and had a nice response lasting about a year. As his tumor started to grow again, I looked for clinical trial options and ended up doing a resistance biopsy, which showed T790M, and he screened and started on the AURA trial of AZD9291. He had a brief washout, as all these patients do, you know, 7-8 days before going onto the new drug. And during that time, definitely his symptoms of shortness of breath and cough began to escalate. He needed more oxycodone. He was up to 40 milligrams of oxycodone a day or so to manage these. When he started AZD9291, rapidly his cough and shortness of breath resolved. He actually presented for his week 1 follow-up visit with symptoms of sweats and diarrhea and had gone into rapid opiate withdrawal because he suddenly didn't need the oxycodone at all. He's had a really dramatic response and feels great. And I think the important point is, whereas he had rash and diarrhea on the erlotinib, he does not have any skin toxicity or diarrhea on the new drug.
And how long has he been on the drug?
He's now been on it for 6 months or so.
And any tolerability issues at all?
No, he feels well. Most of the patients I've seen definitely enjoy being on this drug better than on the initial EGFR TKI because of minimal EGFR-related side effects. He's had no toxicity.
As he was deteriorating off erlotinib, did you think about chemo?
I mean, it was during the washout. We sort of had our sights set on the new drug, and so it was very clear what the strategy would be. But whereas we don't necessarily see a dramatic flare leading to hospitalization, I definitely know that these washouts can lead to some deterioration, and large washouts can be a problem for patients.
Yeah.
You know, one of the issues with AZD9291 that I've run into is QTC prolongation. So I've had to be really careful with that. I've had 2 patients, you know, back-to-back in a row that have had that issue.
Interesting. Corey?
I want to just touch upon this whole issue of washouts. You know, traditionally with cytotoxic trials, we mandated a 3 or 4 week break. This observation of tumor flare, and I've seen it at least on several occasions, I suspect everyone around this table has seen it. Virtually all trials now allow up to just a 3-day washout. And I think that's a recognition of therapeutic reality and also a recognition that the half-lives of these drugs is fairly quick. Erlotinib's not going to linger too long, and we can put them on a clinical trial quickly without adversely affecting toxicity.
Dave?
Just a comment about the QTC prolongation. I always am concerned about a laboratory number that doesn't translate to any clinical reality. In the early days of paclitaxel, they were worried about bradycardia, and we had to do serial EKGs, follow their heart rate, and now you just give it and they go home and it's not a problem. Do you think the QTC prolongation is something that needs to be monitored closely in practice? Or is this just something that the FDA and bean counters like to look at?
And
is this a clinical problem?
Do you think that you held the drug, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that, well, I mean, it's a trial situation, but are you saying that maybe, you know,
setting of metastatic lung cancer, you know, a 0.2% risk of cardiac event is probably acceptable.
You know, watching that QTC widen in front of me, though, I was not going to risk it.
Dave?
Yeah, you point to it. I mean, it's really been non-oncologic drugs to come off the market because of this issue, and it's made every drug development plan complicated because of this. I agree with you wholeheartedly.